Mercy and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are spiritual beings, and spiritual warfare is a real thing in our lives. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to remember the great victory that your Son has secured for us. Help us to trust in who you've called us to be. Help us to trust in your Son, that we may shine his light in this world, and that the devil will know even more that he stands defeated. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's topic is, today's sermon is going to be focused on the gospel lesson where Jesus is tempted by Satan. What's interesting is whenever I think about this text, I think about just how some people in the church have struggled. Have you ever heard of Martin Luther's story where he was up late at night doing his work? He might have been translating the Bible at that point in time from the Latin into the from the original text into German instead of having the Latin Bibles. And he's working late at night. And he believes that he actually sees the devil, an appearance of the devil. And he actually throws his inkwell at him. Another one another story that I like is from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, of course, he has got all of England is giving their ears to C.S. Lewis in a time of war. They hold on to his radio broadcasts, and because they were uplifting, they were a source of encouragement and strength, and he taught about Jesus in the midst of World War II. And so it doesn't surprise me that one night C.S. Lewis would be woken from his bed. He'd go downstairs and he switched on the light. And he said that he saw the devil sitting in a chair. And C.S. Lewis says, "Oh, it's just you." And he turns off the light and goes back to bed. That is why I really appreciate what C.S. Lewis had to say in Mere Christianity when he speaks of the devil. We need to acknowledge that he's real. We need to acknowledge that he is a real presence that seeks to do us harm. And yet we cannot give him more power than he actually has. Creation has been fought. Creation fell. God made everything, and it was good. In the garden, it was good. Man was good. Eve was made out of Adam's rib. It was good. And of course, when the serpent tempted Eve, she ate from the tree that she was not supposed to eat of, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and she gave some to her husband Adam, and the old Adam fell. And sin entered into the world. What did the devil say to Eve? Well, first of all, he said to her, "Oh, surely you won't die if you eat from that. God just doesn't want you to be like him." And so what did the devil do there with Eve? The devil made her question God's plan and God's goodness. He cast in a seed of doubt. And of course, the first commandment is, "You shall have no other gods before me." And our favorite God, of course, often is the one that we see in the mirror. Our will. We want to worship ourselves. We want what we want when we want it. And that's important too. Because when we sin, we can't just say, "Oh, the devil made me do it." That argument doesn't hold up in court. That argument doesn't hold up before God. It is written that in the book of James that sinful desires come from ourselves. But where I have certainly come in my own personal walk in faith, where I have certainly come to struggle with the devil, is in the doubts that I have, when I'm reminded of the sins that I've committed, when I want to be righteous and good. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. And you know what? I even got that order backwards there. I'm supposed to be a good husband first. I'm supposed to be a good father second. And I'm supposed to be a good father third. Or I'm supposed to be a good pastor third. Right, I'm Lutheran, right? Not Catholic. So, yeah, pastor, not father. Got it. And the devil, where he works on all of us, is he gets us to desire that desire to be good, and the shame that he holds before us. That's where he can really start to twist us and get us to question who we are. That takes us into the text today. Jesus has been baptized by John in the Jordan River, John the Baptist. And wouldn't it have been awesome to have been there and see that? I mean, John got to put the water over Jesus' head, or who knows, maybe he immersed him. Who knows how it happened? He was baptized, right? And after Jesus was baptized and he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And he heard these wonderful words from the Father in heaven. "This is my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." What happens next is the Holy Spirit leads Jesus out to the wilderness and he fasts. He's hungry. He wants to eat. How many of you have ever been hungry? Or in our house, we call it the hunger monster. And other people, they call it being hangry, right? Hungry and angry, hangry. Combined, right? Jesus is hungry. And the devil just asks him to do something very innocently. He says, "Why don't you pick up this stone and turn it into bread?" Seems kind of harmless, right? What would be the big deal of being able to turn, if you had the ability as God to turn stone into bread, what's the big deal? Well, right there is the question that the devil asks. He says, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. If you are the Son of God. I talked about this a little bit with the Ash Wednesday service. In the sins of my youth, I felt very dirty and unclean when I realized what I was doing. And there came to this holy desire that I wanted to repent. And the struggle that I had was, if Jesus has really forgiven you, and if he is God and all-powerful, why do you still struggle with sin, Joel? That's where the devil came in. And that's where I really got to know him on a personal basis, was the question of, you know, Jesus says, go and sin no more. Why are you still sinning? I questioned the grace of God. I questioned the Word of God incarnate. And that's why it's so important to know God's Word. So what does Jesus do to get this attack? He says, "It is written that man does not live on bread alone, but on every from God. Right? I had to learn from God's word that I was loved, even though I was a sinner. And you know, sometimes, and maybe you are at that point too, but you know what? We also need that reminder, because we get law all the time in every aspect of the world. Do you have a boss at work? Sure. You're getting law, right? Perform if you want to get your paycheck. Sometimes in our relationships that we have, it's not so much about the person as much as it is, what are you doing for me lately? Right? If you love me, you're going to be taking care of all this stuff, right? And that's where that confusion kind of comes in, where we're like, where, and the devil can get us in the details, where it's like, yeah, I want to be righteous. I want to be good on my own. I want to be like God, just like Eve did, because God is righteous. Why can't I do this on my own? And that's where the devil is working on us. And that question of if we are righteous, why can't we, why do we still sin? If we are righteous, why do we still struggle in this world? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word from God. That's how we live. The second temptation. This is where I think a lot of us can get overwhelmed, especially today. Jesus is taken to a place and is shown by the devil every kingdom in the world. And the devil says, if you worship me, Jesus, I will give this. It's all been given to me, and I can give it to whoever I want. It is an interesting... It's an interesting irony, or just how does the Son of God, who created the entire world, how is he put in a position where the devil can give him his world back? I don't believe that the devil knew that Christ was going to take back the world on the cross, because otherwise he wouldn't have overcome Judas and driven Judas to betray him to the cross. I think the devil thought that he was going to win when Christ was crucified. But I think the devil knew that when the Son of God came, he was coming to wage war on his kingdom. And so it's like, hey, instead of having a fight, how about I just give it to you, but you worship me instead? And why would this tempt Jesus? Well, Jesus actually knew what he had to do. He knew that he had to die cross. And yet, Jesus, unlike the old Adam, he thwarts it. Not in the way, and we know from the story on the cross, too, not in the way that we would want to see fit, right? We see, we turn on the news and we see this massive war happening. And the Ukraine, rightly so, is asking for weapons. Because how do you defeat an army? With weapons, right? That's the weapons that we want, you know, that we want to see God active and working actively in our lives. And again, that can kind of be where we struggle too. Especially when we have these sins in our lives. And we want to be righteous and we want to be good. Or we want someone to be healed. Or we question, Why did someone die in our life? Or God, why does this happen? Or if you are such a good and wonderful God, how come there are so many people dying in the Ukraine right now? Right? There's that question that we ask. How is it that the devil has so much control in this world? Vladimir Putin is accountable for the invasion. But you better believe the devil has his hand in it too. Because he prowls like a lion. He seeks to destroy. And it's overwhelming. And we wonder, God, you seem to work so slow. You don't work in the ways that we want you to work. Why can't you just strike down these armies like you did in with the Egyptian army? Why can't you just massively wipe them out, just like that, and deliver people? I believe that it's, if you've ever had a conversation with someone who's not a believer, you've probably heard this question. How can God be so good and all-powerful if there's evil in this world, right? Because the conundrum is, well, he's either all good, but he doesn't have the power to stop evil, or he's all-powerful, and he's not all good because he lets evil exist. It's interesting that in the hymn we just sang, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, we talked about weapons of the Spirit. Jesus conquered the devil in a way that we don't expect. And people are, and so understand, the rush to solve things quickly, the rush for a quick solution sometimes, and to do it ourselves to get it done, instead of slowing down and praying, instead of being still and knowing who is God, that rush, or that rush to get things done and to be in control, that can be where the devil is working on you too. Right? The devil has false religions. He's got demons that work through false religions. And yet Jesus handled it by dying on a cross. The final temptation is very interesting too. Jesus is taken to the pinnacle of the temple. Throw yourself down. If you are the Son of God, once again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then he quotes Scripture. The devil actually quotes Scripture. We read it. Psalm 91. We actually read part of it today. The devil quotes it and says, he will not let your foot strike a stone. His angels will come to you. The devil is using God's word against Jesus and trying to twist it. And Jesus, of course, rightly says, away from me, Satan. For it is written that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So we have the question of our identity. The devil working on us by getting us to question who God is. We get the temptation of questioning Jesus' power in our lives. I believe God can act, but will he? I believe that God can deliver me, but I just don't know if he will, right? Or just the overwhelming evil that we see in this world. God, why? Right? And then, of course, there's the twisting of God's word. I don't know, have you ever had somebody who's a non-believer throw God's word in your face, and then they act like they're so proud of, like, I got you with your own Bible. Context is king, okay? Usually whenever someone throws God's word at you in that kind of manner, the context is twisted and they don't understand it. Psalm 91 is a promise to deliver us from the evil in this world, from the devil. And so that's why it's so important to rest in God's word, to have this Sabbath time, and to be reminded of the right, correct use of Scripture. That's why when you have a question, God has given you the gift of pastors and fellow other Christians to wrestle with these things and ask questions and to actually try to find the truth of God's Word. And what is the most important key piece to understanding the Scriptures? is realizing who is about. Jesus. Jesus. If you're getting legalism and law all the time thrown at your face, that's the devil. That's not Jesus. If you're wondering if you are saved, and if you're good enough to be saved, or you sit there and you think, there's just no way that God can save me. I'm just so awful. I believe that he died and rose again, but I'm just so awful that he can't save me. Wrong. Wrong. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That includes you. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could know the righteousness of God. I want to be righteous on my own in my worst moments. I want to get everything right. I want to be loved and respected because of the things that I do. But that's a very dangerous road to walk. I struggled during times of COVID of being under the heavy weight of responsibility instead of rejoicing in the joy of relationships. That's where the devil wants to bog you down. He doesn't want you to slow down and rest. He doesn't want you to take time to enjoy the gifts that God has given you in this life. He wants to distract you from who your God is and the wonderful work that he has accomplished. Yes, sometimes it seems like God works very slow in our lives. There's a reason why the scriptures say that blessed are those who wait on the Lord. There's a reason why we are told in the Psalm to be still and know that he is God. There's a reason why we're told to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Not to enslave us, not because we have to go to church to be saved, but because we receive God's blessings while we are here. And we are reminded that if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Stop wanting to have everything right. Stop wanting everything to be perfect. And just let Jesus love you. Let the Son of God, who was stretched out on the cross, who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let him love you. Let him forgive you. Rest in his grace. Stop fighting it. And just be. Be with God. Enjoy him. And you know what's going to happen? He might just start changing how you see the world. Instead of, oh man, I got to answer to the boss today. You know what? God is going to allow me to love my boss. He's going to allow me to love my coworkers and love my customers. And instead of the work being burdensome, it can be a joy. Now, of course, the devil is going to rear his ugly head at an opportune time. And it's going to distract you from that. And that's why we are called back into Sabbath weekly and even daily. God wants us to pray. Maybe even every single moment. Jesus says, the God's word says, pray without ceasing. Right? Rest in God all the time. And that's and trust in who he is. There is no ifs, right? Jesus is the Son of God. He is God of God, very God, being of one substance with the Father, right? He is also man, and he came down to die for us, and he rose for us to make all things new. Send the devil to the woodshed in your lives. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Look at your relationships and realize God has wiped my slate clean. Therefore, I am free to wipe the slate clean for other people. I am free to love, even when I'm not loved back, because I know that Jesus Christ loves me, and I am secure in that. That's how you send the devil running. I was up late last night. I couldn't sleep. It happens to pastors before they preach a sermon. They sometimes struggle sleeping. Gee, I wonder why, right? Because we want to be good when we proclaim God's word. But I do believe that I was under a spiritual attack because I was reminded of how I fall short. And memories of past sins came to me. Then I just remembered something. I remembered that I'm preaching about Jesus overcoming the devil. And I said, "Thank you, devil, for reminding me of all the things that Jesus has forgiven me from. Thank you for reminding me of the salvation that I have in him. Good night." We are set free. You are forgiven and you are clean. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting.